here we are in His presence. And I want to start a new series this morning. And this is kind of what we're going to be looking at, okay? We're going to be looking at God cares. All right? God cares. Now, for some of you, that might even be a challenge to say. It's a very personal thing, as we're going to find out from 1 Peter chapter 5 and other scripture supporting scriptures. But to be able to say, God cares for me. God cares for me. He really does. Or we can be looking at it like this, tipping the scales towards a worry-free life. Now, if I really had the formula that worked in inoculation that really would make us immune from worry, I'm telling you something right now, I could really make a killing. Anybody who offers that, they're selling snake oil. But nevertheless, I believe that in Him, in His care, we have the best possible medicine, if you will, given to us to tip the scales in our favor to living a worry-free life. Now, doesn't that just sound wonderful? I mean, think about it for a minute, especially some of us who have lived, like Dolores, have a few miles behind us, right? A worry-free life. Well, anyways, that's what we're going to be talking about, okay, in the next couple of weeks. And one of the best love pitchers, I think, at least for me, one of my best love pitchers in the Bible, both Old Testament and New Testament, we see this, is the picture of Jesus as the shepherd of our lives, right? Psalm 23, how does it begin? Come on. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And all through the Scripture, we flip over to the New Testament, especially to John's Gospel in John chapter 10, and Jesus Himself says, I am the what? Good shepherd. And He carries that further. We see what He means by good, wherein He says, the good shepherd who gives His life for the sheep. My mother, growing up, had this picture in our home. And when she died way back in the 80s, this is one of the things I wanted. And I've kept it with me ever since. I have it in my study here at the church. But it's a great picture, I think. Jesus in the middle of His sheep. And the sheep look well contented. There's streams of living water there. And He's, got the little sheep, the little lamb in His arms. And you just have this sense of serenity, of peace, of some worry-free sheep there. He's holding His shepherd staff, which He holds for the sheep to protect them. And I just love this picture. I think it's an image that we have to conjure up more often in our own minds. And this is where I want to go this morning. And what we're made to feel when we look at this image, not just the picture here, but the picture of how Jesus is the Good Shepherd, how we have made David's words in Psalm 23, our words, the Lord is my shepherd. And all of the details that ought to conjure up in that imagery, all that goes into the making of that picture. What we ought to come away with, and what I want to say to you this morning, when we leave this place, to go away with this as a part of the image that we're looking at, and that is, God is committed to your welfare. So when we say God cares, and we say God cares for me, what we're saying is He is committed to my welfare. He cares. In Matthew chapter 6 and in Luke chapter 12, you can look at it later, but we'll be going there as we scout these things out in the next couple of weeks. He says, Look at the birds. He says, look at the lilies, how they grow in the field. And he says, you know, here today, gone tomorrow. You know, I've driven over many birds and squashed them all that much more. And it says this about them. It says, God takes notice of them. In other words, such thing as a sparrow is on his radar. That's the idea. And he says, if that's the case, if sparrows are on God's radar, how much more is he attentive to me and to you? This is a tough one. This is a tough one to get under our skin, because there's a lot of mitigating circumstances in our lives to be screaming at us, more often than not, God doesn't care. Come on. And so, this morning, he cares. He cares. He cares. And so I want to begin by looking at 1 Peter chapter 5. Are you with me this morning? 1 Peter chapter 5 in your Bibles or on whatever device you're using. 1 Peter chapter 5 and one verse this morning as we continue to go. We'll measure things out a little bit more from this passage of Scripture. But verse 7, Peter says to those that he's writing to, and he is saying to us this morning, cast your anxieties. You see it there? My version says anxieties. I love it. Cast all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Let's pray. Father, as we go through this morning, Lord, I pray that so many things would stick to us. And that in my voice, that we would hear the voice of God. Not that my voice, for heaven's sake, is the voice of God, but that in my voice, we would hear something from heaven today. And that you would draw near in this word. And Lord, that our lives would be changed because of it. Speak to us where we're at, God. In Christ's name, amen. And so, you know, we got to change some things here as we unfold this text. Here's the first thing that we really got to look at, okay? The first is this. God is in the details of your life. Now, you've heard it said the opposite, right? And we say it by how complicated things are, how gnarly things are. We say, oh man, the devil's in the detail, as to how conscientious we have to be about things. But when it comes to our lives, God is in the details of your life. As I said, nothing is out of the purview of you and your life of his attentiveness. God cares. And so he's in the details. He's ever watchful, and nothing escapes his notice. Nothing does. And I know that a lot of you are perhaps conjuring up in your own minds a defense against that, to how you feel. Hold on, we'll get there. But we got a ways to go before we get there, okay? Now, anxiety is suffered by millions of people. Anxiety. And anxiety wreaks havoc in a lot of our lives. In fact, there's some statistics, and I'm not going to read them all, but anxiety disorders are the most common mental health issues, problems in the U.S. Millions of people. And when you look at anxiety and start breaking it down from, you know, severe anxiety issues to lesser anxiety problems that we face, such as worry. How many of you have ever been awake at night because of worry, worried about something? I'll raise both hands. Absolutely, worry. That it's a killer. It really is. Anxiety is a killer in many of its children, and we'll be talking about that. But listen, once again, none of us are immune, right? If I said, okay, you know, if you don't face worry, let's say, or some kind of anxiety in your life, please stand up. I don't think so. And we'd be hard-pressed to find someone who'd be able to stand up and say, not a problem for me. None of us are immune to it. None of us. So we really got to look into this, and the Bible says a lot about these things. And if I were to ask you, let's say, let's take a little poll, a little quiz real quick, okay, to get us on the track here. If I were to ask you to list five things, just five, okay, of the things that cause you, you know, five things, five areas in your life, the things that cause you to worry, that give you stress, that give you the most anxiety, okay, what would they be? What would they be? I got my list. I had to stop. I started running off the paper. I have more than five things listed here. Okay? But what would they be? Come on, call some out to me. What? Money. Money, money, money is the first one on my, it was the first one on my list. Money. What else? Kids is on there. Kids is on my list. Health is on my list. You're reading my notes. I wonder why. You know. Health. What else? Your work situation, your job. On the list again. It made my top five. Another one. I think that's only four. I'm telling you, he was before money on my list. I couldn't say it, though. What else? Come on. There's so many. Yeah, the stuff problems, right? Living stuff problems. How many of you have had to fix a leak in your roof? You know, what a day for the car not to start. It gives us anxiety. Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so relationships, intimate relationships, our spouses. You know, I'm telling you, it always causes problems, doesn't it? You know? Listen, that's okay if I've made your list. I have that gift. Okay? He says I'm on his list twice. Okay? What about loss? Loss, from the suffering of loss of a job to the loss of a loved one. Anxiety over the what lies ahead for us. Anxiety because, man, you know, and as much as we put our ducks in a row and plan for the future, this or that, still don't know. Time, anxious about time. How many of you have ever said there's just not enough time in this day? To the opposite extreme of, man, you know, you're just so bored. Time just, and it's like, and it gives you stress. What's going on here? And you feel lethargic in life, especially this time of the year. People made my list. Sorry. You know, if I as pastor made your list, no offense taken. So no offense given, people. Weather, major. I mean, you know, here's a good challenge for you. See how many of your conversations with other people revolve around weather, at least introductions, which is okay, but there's a sign of something here, you know? You know, those poor people in Atlanta this past week, you think they had a little bit of stress going on in their lives, a little bit of anxiety going on in their lives? Absolutely, they did. And so there's all these things and more. You know, hurts. Have you ever been hurt? Hurt by someone, hurt in a situation, hurt by a circumstance. And it causes anxiety, doesn't it? Anxiety in our lives. And it's the most common, as I said, form of health issue, anxiety. It causes so many things, depression. worry. Someone said that worry is like a rocking chair, in that it's all like a rocking chair that's always in motion but never going anywhere. Worry. Someone else said worry is like going mountain climbing on a molehill. But yet, how it, so such little things, such as some of the things we worry about, occupy such a big part of our lives. This is big. This is a big area. And so I want to say some things today, and mostly by introduction as we lay this out before us, taking 1 Peter's word here as a cue. Cast all your care on Him because He cares for you. The psalmist in Psalm 55:22 says virtually the same thing, probably where Peter got this from. He says, cast your burden on the Lord because He cares for you. And this word that Peter uses when he says, cast all your care on Him, it's taken from, it's only used one other place in the New Testament where Jesus was coming in on His triumphal entry into Jerusalem, and it says that they got Him a donkey to ride on. And it says then they took their jackets and they put it over the donkey as kind of like a makeshift saddle for Him, and they threw it over Him. And that's a good picture of what it means, the giving of our care. And I want to begin our time this morning in unraveling this thing by, first of all, helping us to adopt the image, to fix the image in your brain that He cares for you. Period. And to do it in such a way that you see that you are not business to Him. You're not business to Him. You know, like a CEO runs a corporation and in tune with so many things and may show care to people who are his personnel if he's a good CEO, but still always is looking at them as resources, usually. He's got a business to run. God never looks at us, never looks at me, to how it is that He can care for me because He's got a business to run. Never. That so turns me on. It really does. And the whole thing of this idea of, you know, I'm not just a proposition, a business proposition to Him, in that He's my what? Shepherd, my pastor. And here's something you got to think about. In this whole idea of, listen, it's not business, it's family. We're family to Him. How is it possible that He could look at me merely in cold facts and figures when I belong to Him? Inasmuch as I don't haven't disowned yet any one of my kids, you know, when they mess up, have messed up, screw up, whatever. Why? They're family. And I know stuff happens along that line. How many of you saw the interview with the Governor Deeds there in Midwestern state, where his son had mental health issues, anxiety issues, and slashed up his father? Anybody see that? And you hear his father talking about his son, who attacked him to kill him, his own father, parenticide as we call it. And yet the father, with tears in his eyes, sitting there in the camera with scars on him, being knifed by his own son. My son was a good boy. Loved him immensely. He had serious problems. Well, of course. And how we have to see this with God. Let this fill your image. Are you a screw up? Yes. Take no offense. We know we're screw-ups at times, right? Say the wrong thing at the wrong time, Ding, 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 ding. Been there, said that many a times. But we're the perfect church for imperfect people. Every church can have that as a tagline. But in the middle of all that brokenness, in the middle of all that imperfection, he shines through and he says, but you belong to me. You're mine. Come on in. See, it's like, listen, you're in the inner circle. You're there. You're already there. You've been brought into the inner circle. He cares for you. And I just want you to feel this image this morning that he's into you. God is into you. He really is. He cares for you. He sees your life. He sees the stinky. And he's still not put off by it. Why? He cares for you. Now, let me just switch gears with this one, okay? And go here. I think it's important to have good friends who care for us. And if ever the love of God is going to be felt in our lives, more often than not, how does it come? Through someone else. And if ever we're going to talk about caring, God help us that we show his care by being careful, care-filled, and offering care to other people. Absolutely. But you know what? That can only go so far. Only so far. And we forget that. As important as it is, especially for Christians, to demonstrate the love of God, we have to be careful that that never is put in the place of his love personally shown to me. He doesn't take the place of my friends. He doesn't take the place of my spouse. I love my wife. I love Jesus more. I love and I value my friends. I love Jesus more. I expect in that relationship that I have with my wife, give and take. With me, it's been a lot more give, honest, than it has been take. Give, 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 give. And in all of our relationships, for them to work, there is give and take. Come on, there is. But I want to tell you something. There's breakdown that happens there in all of those kinds of relationships. Friends will fail you. You might outlive your spouse, or you might have problems there. And there's no other kind of relationship where you're not going to come up empty on, but there's one place where you will never be left holding the bag or come up empty, and that is he cares for you. The psalmist said it best. Pastor Bob is my pastor. I shall not want. Oh, baby, I'm going to tell you something right now. Come on over to my house and spend a half hour with me. You'll be looking for another church in a heartbeat. I hope not. See, that's why all the imperfect people are here. They relate so well to me. It's incredible. I'm joking. But the reality is, no, the Lord is my shepherd. And Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. This is where we get into trouble, when we start looking to people to do for us only what God can do for us. Well, he doesn't care. And so I'm leaving. I'm leaving God. I'm leaving the church. I'm giving up on my Christianity. Whoa, hold the phone. Of course people are going to dump you. Of course people are going to act like idiots. Haven't you left people? Haven't you acted like an idiot to other people? The answer is unequivocally yes. And if you haven't, you're lying to yourself. You just haven't lived long enough. Or you haven't had enough relationships with other people yet. But the point that I'm making is simply this. He doesn't straight arm you ever. He cares too much for you. God, where'd you go? Where'd you go, God? Where'd you go? We're going to be talking about this in the last point when we get to it. Where'd you go, God? Where'd you go? And God says, you, right here. And you realize that the distance has been distance that you have created, not him.
Wow.
Why? He cares too much for you. He cares. And so please let this image sink in. The last one, and then we'll quit because I have seven. The first one is he cares. The second is this. This is the picture that we have to paint of ourselves. This is the imagery that has to be that we have to fill our imaginations with. And that is the first part of the verse, cast all your care on. What a friend we have in Jesus. Right? How many of you know the song? All our griefs and shame to bear. What needless what? What needless care we often, because what? We fail to bring it to the Lord in prayer. Cast all your care on him. See, God will do for you with you. See, this isn't the kind of thing where it's like, God's got it. God, here it is, take it, and off we go. No, God will do it for you, with you, type of thing. So it's not as though there's no responsibility on our part with those things that we deal with that cause us grief. No, we have our part to play in it. But the point is that it's like we go to him and it's like we want, when we go to him and we turn around and walk away, we're carrying with us the thing that we should have left there when we leave. And we wonder why it bothers us. We haven't taken long enough to really leave it there, to get a divine perspective on it, to see how it is that God wants us to navigate through these kinds of things. In Philippians chapter 4, he says, I love this. In Philippians chapter 4, you'll see it there, starting at verse 4. We're going to be looking at it a little bit closer, but just to introduce it today. I love what he says there. He says, don't be anxious or don't have an anxiety over anything. Immediately he's got my attention because it's like, whatever you got going on here, you know, it's like, go hit me up because, okay. Have no anxiety about anything. Here's the idea. We want to tip the scale towards a worry-free life. He says, here's the key. He says, but by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, make your requests known unto God. The same thing that Peter is saying here when he says, cast all your care on him. We were not made. You and I were not made to be burden bearers. We were not made that way. I wasn't made to deal with all of these things in life that life throws at me. Not independently of him, of God. I was made for him to share in that burden. And my life works when he's sharing in it. We dump it on him by prayer. We dump it on him. How? By prayer. So take it to the Lord. Take it to the Lord in prayer. And so as we continue here, I want to talk about these kinds of things and add some more. For instance, the consequences. How many of you know what an ulcer is? Anybody know what an ulcer is? And, yeah. Anybody ever have a panic attack? Anxiety attack, you know. Anybody ever been depressed? There are consequences that we suffer from with the cares that we load on ourselves. But it's worse than that, the consequences that we suffer. I want to look at that. I want to look at that. And then to talk about it from the aspect of the conflict that we all too often face, ready now, when we feel like God doesn't care. You ever been there? You ever feel like God doesn't care? You know, if God cared as much as you say he does, where was he? Why did this happen? Take any one of these areas that we mentioned about anxiety. You know, I'm busting my back trying to earn a living, and where'd the money go? God, aren't you helping us? Take health, for instance. You know, God, where are you that I would have cancer? God, where are you that, you know, I'd get in a car wreck and, you know, broke three arms and five legs? God, where were you, God? You ever been there? Creates a conflict, doesn't it, in our lives? God, if you care so much, why is this happening? Now, I think that there are legitimate answers to those questions, looking at it from this point of view of how God cares for us. I don't think that the answers are complete and 100% satisfying answers. I don't. I really don't. The biggest problem I have in any one of those answers or any one of those areas that I mentioned, and could mention more, the biggest problem I have is with God in any one of those areas, as I've already said. So we want to talk about it, and hopefully to come through to where we're able to get a handle on this thing so that our lives aren't spent climbing molehills when we should be climbing mountains. Okay? Sound cool? Let's stand together in the Lord's presence. And so, give it to Jesus, what's going on. Why? Why are you going to give it to him? He cares. So here's an exercise for this week, okay? Here's the exercise. As you live through this week, you ready for this one? And tonight, if the Broncos lose, this is for you. To immediately say, he cares for me. No, he cares for me. Whatever it is that you face, it's usually bad stuff, right? But whatever it is, doesn't necessarily have to be bad, but just, you know, to take a breath. He cares for me. God cares for me. What is it that I need to give up to him at this moment? Father, in Jesus' name, I commit this word to your people. Lord, I commit it to you. And you see my own life, God, and how worry and fear has so much of the time occupied my own thoughts, filled my heart with anxiety, weighted it down. And so, Lord, I'm looking to you to know of those things that will tip the scale towards a worry-free life for each of us as your people, and that our imaginations would come alive again or anew with seeing you as the good shepherd of our lives. God is good. I pray in Christ's name. Amen. God bless you, folks.